Velkommen til HR Norge podcast, og hvilken fantastisk start vi har. Vi sitter på Fornebu, og jeg har Dave Ullrich I rommet. Dave, welcome to the HR Norway podcast.
What a privilege to be here. I'm honored to join you and have a conversation with you.
You have just given a wonderful speech on leadership. And why does leadership matter?
We have found that almost everybody understands the importance of leadership. Because if I say to somebody, can you name a leader who helped you be successful both in your personal and business life? Everyone can name somebody. For me, it's often my mother and my father and my personal life and some great mentors. But when you go into an organization, we can also see that leaders and leadership has a huge impact inside the company on the employee morale, the employee commitment, on the organization's ability to deliver strategy and become agile. But also leadership has an impact outside the company. What leaders do inside the company affects investors. How do investors invest in the company's future? Leadership inside the company also affects customers. How does what a leader does inside the company create a brand in the marketplace? And leaders shape the community reputation of a company. So what leaders do has a huge impact, not only in terms of what we personally experience, but what the company is able to deliver.
I especially like your model concerning the DNA of leadership. You talk about five buckets. And could you please tell me something about how you sort out the elements of leadership and how you could use that in your own self-assessment?
We've written some books and articles on leadership, and we've discovered there are literally hundreds of thousands of people that have studied leadership. So we decided to go to about 15 people who have each written four or five books. They've done collectively over 3 million leadership 360s and done assessments of leadership. And so these are the real thought leaders in the leadership space. And we asked them two questions. Question one, what percent of successful leadership are the same basic skills? So every leader everywhere in Norway, in Finland, in Germany, in Singapore, in Brazil, in Mexico, big companies, small companies, public sector, private sector, what are the percent of leaders in those different settings have to have the same skills? And it was 60 to 70%. There is a body of knowledge, or as you said, a DNA of good leadership. Question two, what is it? So what is it good leaders should know and do? And we discovered from that work five things. Strategy, good leaders should set a direction. Where are we going? How do we play in the future? What's our future look like? Number two, execution. How do we get things done? How do we hold people accountable? How do we manage change? How do we deliver what we promise? Number three, talent. How do we treat our people today? How do we make sure that our people feel inspired and competent and committed? Number four, human capital. How do we invest in our people tomorrow? How do we help them pick a career? How do we help them grow? How do we build an organization to sustain them? So we had strategy, where we go, execution, how we get there, talent, who goes with us, human capital, who stays. And then in the middle of those four was personal proficiency, the personal traits and attributes of a great leader, your intellectual ability, your social ability, your emotional stability, your ability to learn, your spiritual ability to create meaning. And so those five buckets became what we call the DNA or the code book for what leadership looks like.
We all have some kind of predisposition when it comes to leadership. I bring my personal style to the table, and so does my colleagues. How can we use this way of sorting the leadership quality to put together an effective team?
I'm curious, what is your predisposition in those five? What comes most naturally to you?
I'm in the, at the upper right corner, a strategist, obviously. That is my strength. And others have other predispositions.
You know, it's interesting, when I did the research, I'm in the same upper right corner and bottom right. I execute, I strategize. It's funny, being in the human resource field, talent is not my natural affinity. I like ideas and where we're going. Once we know our predisposition, for example, even and I tend to do strategy, we can then force ourselves to learn the other, that you're not locked into something. Many people have done a test that measures, are you an introvert or an extrovert? I am 100% introvert, which is ironic because I make my living doing speeches and talks. And when I go on stage, I can do that. I can learn those skills of giving a talk and being extroverted. But when I'm done, I need my private time. I need my space. The same is true in leadership. If I know my predisposition, what comes naturally to me, for me, it's strategy. I'm always focused. What's next? What's the future? What's going to happen? I go, okay, don't go there. That's what you're going to do naturally. Focus on what's the implication for talent, for human capital. What are the things that are not as innately natural to you? And then force yourself to learn those other things. There's a person in our field who says, build on your strengths. Only do the things that are strong. And he's actually wrong. There's a lot of research that says if you only do what your strengths are, you will limit your success. If all I do is strategy, which is where I'm predisposed, or even, we're not going to be as successful as if we learn the skills in those other areas. And so it's learning how to do things that do not come naturally. And they may not ever be our strengths, but we can at least be very, very good at those things.
Isn't it to a certain degree possible to compensate with putting together a strong team with qualities that supports your weak sides?
What a great insight. And in fact, what we have found is the team outperforms the individual 80% of the time. That individuals have strengths, but teams win the war and they have victory. They talk about a war for talent, but it's victory through the organization. So in my world, I happen to be in business with an incredible partner who is very good at execution and talent. That's his strengths. And if I can bring my strengths to his strengths, I think we're better as a team. And I understand even you have hired some people who are just wonderful compliments to the strengths that you have.
If we go from a more closed system, you could say, to a more ecosystem kind of organizations, which implications do you think this has for leadership?
Often we go into a company and we say, define what makes an effective leader at this company. And here's the model. They take 30 leaders who've been successful and 30 leaders who've not, and they do what's called the critical incident interviews. What distinguishes the 30 successful and the 30 unsuccessful, and they come up with a list of skills. Here's the problem. Both the successful and the unsuccessful are focused on the past. Who's been successful? What we really have to do is say, given what the future of this company looks like, where we're going, what we have to do to succeed, how we compete, and how we'll play, what do we think those skills might be? And so even though somebody has been successful, doesn't guarantee they're going to be successful in the future. And so the best leadership development starts, I think, by focusing on our future customers. Why will a customer buy from my company in the future? What is it we give them that is unique? Is it price? Is it quality? Is it service? Well, those characteristics of customer value should transfer into a set of leadership skills, because then those skills that leaders have will help customers be successful in their future efforts.
You are ranked as the number one thinker in the world when it comes to HR for decades, and you are also high on the list for leadership thinkers. So what do you think within leadership that HR can uniquely bring to the table? What everyone else are bringing in something. What is the quality of HR in such a group of directors?
First of all, I think those rankings are crazy. They did not talk to my children, because if they talked to my children, they would say, what? My father is not that well at all. But it's an honor to be recognized by one's colleagues. I am constantly thinking about what's next. And in leadership, I'm becoming more aware that leadership is not the leader at the top of the organization, but it's the collective leadership deep within an organization. That sometimes the most important leader in an organization might be a 25 or 30-year-old who has a technology or an experience or an idea that will shape what that organization does. And so leadership is not just a hierarchy, it's a set of ideas that create value in the marketplace. Second, I'm recognizing that one of the skills of a successful leader at a personal level, it used to be authenticity. I'm trusted, I believe in you as a leader. And then it became agility and learning, resilience, grit. Can you learn? Can you grow? Now what we're starting to see is the most effective leaders navigate paradox. And let me describe paradox. We often go into a company, should we be top down or bottom up in how we make decisions? The answer is both. Should we be inside out, here's who we are, or outside in, here's who you want us to become? The answer is both. Should we be centralized or decentralized? The answer is both, short term, long term, diverse or inclusive. What we're finding is the challenge of leaders today in an ambiguous, uncertain, and turbulent world is to navigate paradox, to be able to live in a duality, to be both long-term and short-term, to manage convergence and to manage divergence. I like to think of paradox as guardrails. If I'm on a road and there's guardrails on each side of the road, managing paradox means driving along one guardrail. Navigating paradox means knowing when to move between guardrails. And I think good leaders today know how to navigate between those guardrails. It's a little bit like sailing on a boat to know when to go which way. It's a little bit like an airplane. If I were flying from Oslo to Copenhagen and had a string between those two airports, the airplane is actually not on that string more than about 5% of the time. It's to the left, it's to the right. And it constantly navigates and adjusts to the situation. We have found that successful leaders have the capacity to navigate paradox.
And they also develop other leaders. And you talked a lot about leadership brand. Could you explain the concept of leadership brand?
A brand, and I think we all appreciate a brand. We appreciate a watch that somebody wears or a shirt that somebody wears with a logo. Or a car that somebody drives. Those products have a brand. And so that brand gives people confidence in the product and allows you actually to charge a premium. Well, the external brand in the marketplace, what we're known for in the marketplace, should also reflect the leadership skills. An easy one that many people can relate to is Disney. Disney theme parks has a brand. The happiest place on earth, where you want to be happy, you want to find joy, you want to have great experience. That happiness that they're trying to create for their guests or customers translates into what they should be doing for their leaders. There are some people who would not work well at Disney because their predisposition is to be grumpy. I might be one of those people. And challenging. And so you go to a Disney theme park and the characters and the leaders exude the happiness that they want to create for their customers or their guests. What we like to do when we go into a company and say, the company says, we want to improve the quality of leadership, it makes a difference here. I almost always start, and it freaks people out, by saying, may I sit down for a half hour and look at your brand? Show me the videotapes you use in social media. Show me your online brand. Show your print brand. What are the key messages you're trying to communicate to your customers? Is it service? Is it cost? Is it reliability? Is it quality? Because those messages in the marketplace, the brand you're trying to instill should be the same characteristics you're trying to train and develop in your leaders, either by hiring them, paying them, training them, or promoting them. When your external promises to customers become the foundation for your internal leadership competencies, that's where you tend to have the right leadership.
Thank you very much, Dave, for coming and sharing your insights. Du har hørt på en Hornerge podcast.